And, you know, I talked a lot about it the last 10 months, and I commit, and this should not be, unfortunately, it's become a partisan political issue. It should not be. This is about Virginia covering 400,000 Virginians. Wherever you may be on the health care bill, it really doesn't matter anymore. It's the law of the land. We have the right for 3 years to get 100% of the money. On average, it's about $2.5 billion a year. We can bring 100% of that back. I'd actually gone to the federal HHS with the secretary to negotiate a deal that even when it's not 100%, when it backs off that, that the private providers would pay the difference. Therefore, Virginia was never at risk, ever, for a penny. And why we would allow these 400,000 Virginians to not get coverage after we've paid for it. I'm sure you've seen the news just in the last several weeks. A panel in Texas announced that they wanted to look at this. The governor of Tennessee just announced that they're going to move forward. A group in North Carolina, Wyoming announced last week. These states understand that they get 100% of their money back. I just recently had dinner with probably the most conservative governor in America who has closed the coverage gap and looks at me and says, why aren't you bringing your taxpayer money back? We're paying for health care in those states. And I make the point, why did almost every chamber of commerce support my efforts to close the coverage gap? They realize that today, folks, that these 400,000 Virginians are still going to an emergency room. Who do you think is paying that bill? You are. You've now paid it twice. And when I look at our neighbors in West Virginia and Maryland and Arkansas and Kentucky, that the jobs they've created, they have lower premiums and they have a healthier workforce. So I'm open. I offered five compromises to close the coverage gap. I got to a point that I was negotiating against myself because I could not get the House of Delegates to work with me on one single compromise. So, listen, at the end of the day, you get out there and you fight for what you believe in. But with the headwinds we are facing, with the defense and sequestration cuts, we cannot be tying our arms behind our back. As governor, I compete against 49 states around the country every day, 200 nations around the globe. Why would we not be bringing $2.5 billion back? We could save our budget this year. The estimate is about $160 million net. Now, I've just gone through a very arduous process of having to reduce our deficit. $2.4 billion was there before I got here, but you know what? I'm dealing with it. The idea that I had to cut higher ed by $45 million this year, if we'd closed the coverage gap, I wouldn't have had to take a penny out of higher ed. So I think everybody knows there's consequences to this inaction. I am open. I'm willing to work General Assembly, but at some point they've got to offer one idea. I mean, one compromise. I can't negotiate against myself. So I did what I could do, with, as I mentioned, with my executive authority to get better health care for 200,000 Virginians. But let's be clear, that's not a replacement. It's what I could do, and I've done everything I possibly can. And it's unfortunate those in the most rural communities are being hurt the most. If you've ever visited the Ram Clinic in Wise, and to see these thousands of people show up for one day a year in Virginia to get health care because doctors and dentists volunteer to walk around these barn stalls in the sheets between with people getting all their teeth pulled, it's sad. And to think if they got in a car and they drove 40 miles west to West Virginia, they got health care 365 days a year, and we've already paid for these people to get it, and we're not giving it to them economically, morally, socially, it is the right thing to do.